Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
I'm Sumi Somaskandar from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at the U.S. presidential debate, which much of the world was watching. Kamala Harris went up against Donald Trump in Philadelphia in the first face-off between the two ahead of November's election. What were the key takeaways? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Teenagers are obsessed with their smartphones.
It's pretty much like my best friend. Like, I use it every single day.
And across the globe, there are growing calls to restrict smartphones and social media for kids, or ban them altogether.
You could have the nicest video one minute and then it's just someone dying.
But what happens when teen smartphones are taken away from them? And what is social media really doing to kids?
It's like radicalising your friends and things like that. Like, it changes their whole perspective on things.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Mariana Spring, and with BBC Trending, I'm investigating the impact of social media on teenagers.
I always have to have it next to me because, like, I won't get scared that I'm being, like, left out or something.
That's Josh, a 14-year-old from Birmingham. Josh says he can be on his phone for up to 10 hours a day on the weekend.
My phone will be, like, constantly going off, which will wake me up, and then I'll have to check it just to see if I'm not, like, missing anything important. And normally at 4 in the morning, it's not that important.
And 14-year-old Kia, who also lives not too far from Josh, is rarely off her phone either. She got a smartphone when she was 7.
Sometimes I stay up all night, maybe until about, like, 5 a.m, watching TikTok or playing games or watching Netflix or anything like that. And, I just scroll and scroll and scroll. It's terrible.
According to data from the Centres for Disease Control and Prevention, the average 11 to 14-year-old in the US spends 9 hours a day in front of a screen. And research from Ofcom, the UK's media regulator, has found that a quarter of children as young as 3 and 4 in the UK own a smartphone. But that's all about to change for Josh and Kia. As part of a not very scientific experiment, both of them are about to give up their phones, tablets and laptops for an entire week.
This is all your devices?
This is, yeah.
I feel quite nervous about it. It's going to be, like, really weird not being able to, like, message everyone every day and, like, be able just to sit there scrolling through TikTok.
I think my main feeling will definitely just be being bored. Because when I'm feeling bored, I'm just like, oh, I'll go on my phone.
With the permission of Josh and Kia's parents, we've given both teenagers a basic phone with no internet access in case of an emergency.
So this is your new phone.
What?
Have you ever seen one like that?
Yeah, on films.
We'll come back to how Josh and Kia are getting on without their smartphones later. There's a reason why we, like Kia and Josh, can scroll away for hours. The more time kids and adults spend on smartphones, the more money the social media companies can make through ad revenue. They use algorithms, computer systems, to recommend stuff they think we might like based on the preferences of other users like us and what we show an interest in. It's all to keep us coming back.
You barely get any sleep. Why? Because you was on social media. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, you're up at 8, and then that affects your performance at work or at college, all down to videos on the internet, I guess.
That's Kai from Manchester in the UK. He's now 18, but says he's been served up violent and misogynistic content since he was just 15 on both his TikTok and Instagram feeds. Because the problem is, the kind of content that keeps us gripped can also be harmful.
Think back to when you're about 16, 15. What kinds of stuff would you tend to see on your social media feeds?
All sorts, to be honest. Like, for example, reels, you just scroll, you know, you get a video after a video. It could be a dog, and then next minute it's just someone getting run over, or a car crash, or something like that. It's out of nowhere, spontaneous. It escalates very quickly. You could like it, or you could comment your opinion, be like, I don't agree with this, but you'll still get even more and more and more and more and more.
Kai's into boxing and martial arts, but he doesn't want to see these more violent images. He said these videos have had an ongoing impact on him.
It ruins your mood, it makes you a bit numb, like, desensitizes you to everything. Like, I feel like 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, even 13-year-olds are already desensitized to videos like that. They shouldn't be. They should be a kid.
Kai says he's used the tools on TikTok and Instagram to tell the apps he isn't interested in videos like this, but he says that hasn't stopped violent content being recommended to him.
I've tried, like, putting a little not interested thing, but then 3 videos later you'll get another one. There's nothing you can do, and it feels a bit... It's just weird. Kind of just stains your brain, and it's all you think about for the rest of the day.
When we scroll through his Instagram reels, they include an image making light of domestic violence. It shows two characters side by side, one of whom has bruises, with the caption, "My love language." Another shows a person being run over by a lorry.
You're hooked on it, and then you watch it, and you like it, and you'll get another video on it, and another video on it, and all of a sudden it's your whole personality, it's your whole opinion, it's everything.
Kai says he's noticed that videos with millions of likes can be persuasive to other young men his age. For example, he says one of his friends became drawn into content from a controversial influencer and started to adopt misogynistic views.
He took it a bit far, like he started saying things about women. It's like you kind of have to give your friend a reality check.
Kai wants the social media companies to listen more to what teenagers don't want to see.
If I say I dislike it, you can stop showing me. I feel like social media companies don't respect your opinion.
Kai's experience is not unique. The UK's regulator Ofcom have told me algorithms from all the major social media companies have been recommending harmful content to children, even if unintentionally. I'm going to track down someone who's been on the inside of the social media companies for answers about what Kai has been seeing. But first, let's check in on our not very scientific experiment. You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
The stories they don't want told.
This person is not who you think he is.
World of Secrets is the BBC podcast that brings you major global investigations and gripping storytelling. Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys, Season 2, The Disciples, and Season 3, The Apartheid Killer, are available to download and binge in full, with more investigations coming very soon.
The culture of secrecy needs to be broken.
Search for World of Secrets, the global investigations podcast from the BBC.
Welcome back to the documentary from the BBC World Service with me, Mariana Spring. It's a few days into their week-long smartphone ban, and Kia has been reflecting on her use of social media.
When I was younger, I definitely used to feel insecure. Like, I'd see these girls on TikTok with, like, the really nice bodies, and I used to think I was, like, fat when I wasn't, but social media and their, like, unrealistic things, like, made me feel like that. It's just not true.
But despite this, she's desperate for her phone back.
Last night, I was very irritable. I felt like I was just like, I need my phone. And yeah, I was complaining a lot.
Meanwhile, Josh is faring better.
My day was like a lot more productive. Like, I ended up writing a to-do list. And like, at the end, I was just so impressed with myself.
And he found that a party with his friends was actually better without his phone.
The party was a lot more fun without my phone. I just got to, like, mingle more and, like, speak to a lot more people.
From looking at Kia and Josh's social media feeds, they're not seeing anything that's too bad. But teenagers like Kai, who you heard earlier, are being pushed harmful posts. Kai says his feeds look very different from those of girls he knows the same age. Why is that?
But let's just say if you're a female, a 16-year-old who live in London, they're just usually interested in the pop singers, the songs, makeup. It's very different for a teenage boy.
I flew to Dublin to meet Andrew Kwong, who worked at TikTok in 2021 and 2022. He was part of a team focused on protecting users. He and a colleague decided to check out what users on the app were seeing, including some 16-year-olds.
The average teenage boy in London will be seeing more graphic content. It involved stabbing, knifing type of content. sometimes sexual content, and of course mostly with the misogynistic sort of controversial hate content as well. So it's very dark in the way that the two that see very separately.
Most content which is removed from TikTok for breaking the rules is done by artificial intelligence. Tricky judgment calls, though, require human moderators. TikTok says it had specialist moderators when Andrew worked there. He says he proposed hiring more.
They never gave me a proper answer. Never. It just, you know, like they were just, oh, they're going to be too much work to do.
When he worked at Meta between 2019 and December 2020, Andrew Kwong says there was a different problem. He says that while the majority of videos were removed or flagged to moderators by AI tools, the site relied on users to report other videos once they had already seen them. He says he raised concerns while at both companies, but was met mainly with inaction because, he says, of fears about the amount of work involved or the cost.
At the time, they were just like, great idea, good job, but it's too costly, we're not going to implement it. I was kind of expected that because if something involved an investment, and quite a lot of investment and a change, it's very hard to persuade people.
Several former employees from the social media companies have told the BBC Andrew Kwong's concerns were consistent with their own knowledge and experience. Andrew now doesn't believe that the social media companies can be trusted to keep users safe from harmful content.
Like, if you think about it, we are asking a private company whose interest is to promote their product to moderate themselves, which is like asking a tiger not to eat you. They're going to eat you anyway. I think it is time for the politicians and the government to just be like, came up with some sort of regulations, maybe restricting the minor usage in a way that can be done.
I put Andrew's allegations to the social media companies. TikTok says 99% of content it removes for violating its rules is taken down by AI or human moderators before it reaches 10,000 views. It also says it undertakes proactive investigations on videos with fewer than this number of views. TikTok says 40,000 safety staff work alongside innovative technology to keep its app safe. It says it doesn't use gender to recommend content, has settings for teens to block content that may not be suitable, and doesn't allow extreme violence or misogyny. Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, says it has more than 50 different tools, resources and features to give teens positive and age-appropriate experiences. According to Meta, it seeks feedback from its own teams and potential policy changes go through a robust process. If former employees say social media companies aren't doing enough to protect children from harm on their sites, what can be done to keep children safe online? Florida has banned social media for under 14s, and France may soon ban smartphones for under 11s. In the UK, calls for a smartphone-free childhood are growing. Could blanket phone bans work? Peter Etchells is a professor at Bath Spa University. He specialises in the behavioural effects of digital technology. Peter hasn't found proof that smartphone use is directly linked to mental health issues in children.
Probably the best answer for that is that there's no convincing evidence for a causal link. There is research which suggests that there are maybe some correlations, but they tend to be mixed. So some studies show some negative correlations, some studies show no correlations at all. I think if we had easy answers here, we would have enacted them already. If you look at what happened in South Korea 10 years or so ago, so there was a big worry in South Korea then around kids staying up really late at night and playing on the internet, playing video games on the internet, and that this was impacting, amongst other things, sleep and educational attainment.
In 2011, South Korea enacted a system known as the Shutdown Law, which blocked those under the age of 16 from accessing gaming websites after midnight.
And it makes sense, right? So if you literally can't go onto these games for 6 hours during the night, you're probably going to sleep instead. It took about 6 or 7 years before researchers started properly looking into what the impact of this was. And what they found was that it did have an impact on sleep. So if you look pre and post law, on average, kids were getting about 2 extra minutes of sleep per night. Is 2 minutes going to do that much? Probably not. It also had the net effect of increasing the total amount of time that they spent on the internet during the day. They just shifted it to earlier in the day. So on day one, this looks like it works, right? On day 500, it clearly doesn't, and that law was repealed in 2021.
Despite growing calls, smartphone bans may not be the silver bullet to solving concerns around teenagers' social media use.
So if you say no smartphones, no social media for kids until the age of 16, what happens when they turn 16? I think the focus on bans is maybe the wrong thing at the minute. What we should be focusing on is building digital literacy skills, not just in kids, but in teachers, parents, caregivers as well, so that we can help them navigate these online lives and get the most out of them.
And in his personal experience, Kai doesn't think a ban is the answer either. But he does want to have more control over what he's shown on social media.
I feel like a like and dislike ratio is very needed on apps. I know TikTok have done it recently, but when you press dislike, it doesn't do anything. I feel like if you press dislike, it shouldn't show you content like that. I feel like, actually, don't give it me.
Now coming towards the end of their phone-free week, I wonder if Josh and Kia agree.
People can have a whole conversation overnight on the phone, and then they'll like bring up jokes about it in the morning.
The initial enthusiasm for life without a smartphone has now worn off, and Josh is really looking forward to having his phone back.
At the start of the week, it was a lot more easier, but I think it's a lot more harder without my phone, especially like with my mates at school and stuff. Like, I don't always know what they're speaking about. It feels like I'm being left out in a way.
But Kia is now starting to enjoy life without her phone more, and her mum is helping her get over boredom by arranging a trip to her workplace, a go-karting track.
This is much better compared to my phone. It's so fun because you're actually doing something other than just like sitting there and being on the phone. You're actually doing something. It's really fun.
But when they do finally get their phones back, both Josh and Kia are ecstatic.
There you go.
First of all, cry.
On WhatsApp, I've got 62 messages from my drama group.
I've got 61 mails.
18 messages from this group, my friends.
How does that make you feel, having all those messages and notifications?
Having all these notifications, it makes me feel, like, good again. Like, because I remember how it like used to feel before I got it taken away for a week. Yeah, it feels weird having it back.
After a week, Josh's mum says his phone use is back to normal.
It's nice to see Josh happy with his phone back and smiling. I'm a little bit worried that we've already lost him back to the world of the phone, but hopefully he'll just get through what he needs to look at now and then he'll calm back down again. But it's nice to see him happy.
But Kia's had a revelation.
Like, I've like realised that like social media is just not that great. Like, it's not amazing anymore. I've realised that I actually, because I haven't thought about it at all. And yeah, I'm just not as excited as I thought I'd be. I feel better when I'm not just scrolling and scrolling like endlessly for hours.
Still, our experiment has revealed how hard it is for kids and their parents to live without smartphones. Instead, what the teenagers I've spoken to want is to keep the good bits on their phones and get rid of the bad bits. A lot of that seems to come down to the social media companies' algorithms and the site's designs. That's it for this edition of the documentary from the BBC World Service with me, Mariana Spring. A huge thanks to producers Beth Godwin and Gareth Jones for mixing this episode, and to BBC Trending's editor, Flora Carmichael. If you want to get in touch about this episode, then you can do so by emailing me, marianaspring@bbc.co.uk. We're also on Facebook and X. Just search for BBC Trending and follow us. And remember to leave us a rating or a review, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back with another episode soon.
Has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
The stories they don't want told.
This person is not who you think he is.
World of Secrets is the BBC podcast that brings you major global investigations and gripping storytelling. Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys. Season 2, The Disciples. And Season 3, The Apartheid Killer are available to download and binge in full, with more investigations coming very soon.
The culture of secrecy need to be broken.
Search for World of Secrets the Global Investigations podcast from the BBC.